Father in heaven, I want to thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit through this entire Sabbath morning at the Paradise Church. And by the way, Lord, that's our desire for every Sabbath church in existence around the world. And now I pray that you would anoint me from on high to share these few brief thoughts, Lord, in such a understandable way that none of us will leave here except changed, closer to you. Father, make it possible for us to hear and see Jesus. And also, Lord, keep Satan out of here so that we can have clear minds and clear hearts to hear the promptings of the Spirit and respond according to those promptings. So bless us with your presence in a mighty way, and thank you that we believe you'll answer and do it, because we pray in Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's amazing when you study your Bible on a regular basis. I happened to see a couple days ago an advertisement that I never really paid any attention to, that because of my Bible reading, it suddenly clicked. Breaking Amish. What does the Lord think of that concept? In a world where plain is considered a compliment, TLC will draw back the curtains to reveal the strict traditions of the Amish/Mennonite religion and lifestyle as camera follows five people who have chosen to leave it behind and explore the world outside of their community. Breaking Amish premieres Sunday, September 9th at 10:09 Central. I'm sure you wanted to know that. That was last September. I found out. I didn't even know that. Provides a never-before-seen look inside the lives of young men and women as they, for the first time, trade horses and buggies with taxi cabs and break out of their respective Amish Mennonite communities in their pursuit to chase the big dream in the Big Apple. The groundbreaking series features 9 one-hour episodes. Kate, Jeremy, Sabrina, Abe, and Rebecca. How does the Bible view this concept? And what does it have to do with us? I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to 2 Chronicles 14, and we'll see exactly what this concept, breaking Amish, has to do with the sermon, Don't Give Up. 2 Chronicles 14, I invite the children to take their Bibles and turn to 2 Chronicles, if you would, and follow along in this beautiful story about King Asa. We'll start at very first verse of chapter 14 of 2 Chronicles. So, you have your Bibles open. You have your iPhones open. Your pads open. Just so it's to the Bible. And no texting. And I'm in 1 Chronicles. That's not going to do. So, Abijah rested with his father, and they buried him in the city of David. And then Asa, his son, reigned in his place. In his days, the land was quiet for 10 years. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of his God. For he removed the altar of the foreign gods, and the high places broken down, sacred pillars, and cut down the wooden images. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandment. He also removed the high places and the incense altars from all the cities of Judah. And the kingdom was quiet under him. And he built fortified cities in Judah, for the land had rested. He had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore, he said to Judah, "Let us build these cities and make walls around them and towers and gates and bars while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God and we have sought him and he has given us rest on every side." Wow, what a king. Imagine his great reforms that he instituted. Imagine he turned the whole community to God. He built fortified cities in the time of quiet and peace so the people would be more protective and feel safe. And this approaching God brought great peace. Isn't this incredible? Aren't you excited? You all look like you're asleep. What a king. And what great work he did. Evidently, you do not know how bad things really were. But before we get to that, let's look at the culmination here. Let's look at 2 Chronicles 14 and look at verse 9. In this end of this 10-year period, it says, "Then Zarah, the Ethiopian, came out against him with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots, and he came to Maresheth. So Asa went out against him, and they set the troops in battle array in the valley of Zarephath, Maresheth. And Asa cried out to the Lord God and said, 'Listen, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. O Lord God, help us, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you.' And so the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled." Woo! A gigantic army, perhaps the most powerful at that time, and a simple prayer, and they're all defeated. I'll tell you, I don't know about you, but this all is amazing to me. Asa's incredible. But I want you to know something. Something is very wrong here. We are six kings in from Saul, David, Solomon, Rehoboam, Abijah, Asa. What in the world happened in the time span of six kings in the community of Israel who were graciously brought out of Egypt and out of bondage by mighty miracles to be a community for God and to settle there in a particular land that God chose, in which it was called milk and honey, and six kings in were talking about tremendous reforms. There is something very wrong here. And if you didn't pick up on this, it's time we do. For after David, the Israelite community went like that. And it got so bad that they had to clear everything out. And if you go back to your Deuteronomy especially, but also Numbers, it clearly states, don't be like the nations around you. Do you hear me? And say amen. Do not make allegiance with them. Do not worship their idols. Do not do as they do. 6 kings in and Asa has to come and wipe the slate clean because the Israelites went so far down. In fact, I'm going to tell you this. How far down did they go? I want to show you and surprise you. Look at 2 Kings 15. 2 Kings. Does that say first? 1 Kings. Thank you, James. The reason I remember is Kings. Asa's in 1 Kings, but he's in 2 Chronicles. Now, are you ready for this, folks? Here's a little bit of information added to us about Asa that wasn't in 2 Chronicles. Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did his father David, and he banished the perverted persons from the land and removed the idols and their father that their fathers had made. Also, he removed Maacah, his grandmother, from being queen mother because she had made an obscene image to Ashtoreth. And Asa cut down the obscene image and burned it by the brook Kidron. Please go back to 12. He banished the perverted persons from the land. What in the world is that? If you have a New International Version, doesn't it say male cult prostitutes? Did you hear me? You see, one of the attractive, alluring, exciting parts of idolatry is it always includes cult prostitutes, temple prostitutes. Male and female. And 2 Kings tells us that part of Asa's reform was to get the male cult prostitutes out. Something is very wrong here. And what a struggle it is for us as we keep going to the well of the world thinking that this water is going to be more refreshing than the water Jesus supplies instead. There's something very wrong here. And I decided when I saw that breaking Amish and it all started clicking in my head, and I went back to the story of Asa and I read it again. I clearly saw, folks, that we must not give up. In fact, go back to 2 Chronicles. Let's go back to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 15. Let's see what happened right after Asa defeated the army. Actually, the army of Ethiopia, my Bible says. I checked the commentaries and they're not really sure if it was Egyptian, Ethiopian. There was even Libyan in there. They're not sure who this guy is, but they knew it was a formidable opponent. God vanquished him. And look what happened as he's returning with his army. Don't miss this. Ready? Verse 1. Now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed. And he went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with Him. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, He will forsake you. For a long time Israel has been without the true God." What a horrible statement. Isn't that shocking? without a teaching priest and without law, Leon, without a teaching priest, no learning was going on, right? But when in their trouble they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought Him, and He was found by them. By the way, what mercy. And in those times there was no peace to the one who went out, nor to the one who came in. But great turmoil was in the inhabitants of the land. So the nation was destroyed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every adversity. But you be strong and do not let your hand be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Okay? Let's get this in our heads. Here it is, New King James, read it with me. But you be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. I think the voices were very weak. Let's do it again. But you be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Now I want you to know, let not your hands be weak is King James, New King James, Revised Standard Version in the Bible, the Darby Bible. In the Authorized Standard Version and the World English Bible, it's let not your hands be slack. And in the Bible in Basic English and Young's Literal Testament, it says, let not your hands be feeble. In the New American Standard, it says, do not lose courage. Envelope, please. The one I like is what NIV says. Do not give up. Say that with me. Do not give up. The title of the sermon. In other words, in the New International Version, it translates, do not let your hands be weak, meaning do not give up. So right after a great victory and 10 years of peace and a mighty battle fought and Israel vanquished the foe, immediately the prophet came because he knew that's the weakest time. By the way, I'm going to tell you that Paradise Church is riding high. God is blessing us. This is no time to let our guard down. Do you think when I mentioned from this front that the girls mentioned that they felt welcome here and that we always got to support young people, teenagers at this church, we got to accept them and deal with them? You were a teenager once. Unfortunately, I was too. This is no time to let our guard down. When we get told by Leon we're a teaching church, and we cannot glory in the victories God has given us, we must not give up and continue. Amen. And as Al said, we're a loving church. And that Satan is just waiting to find somebody's that he can twist them a little sideways so that that loving appearance disappears suddenly in a moment. I like what the New International says, do not give up. And that's the problem, folks. Too many people are selling out to the enemy. From Christian pulpits are preached foolishness, false doctrine. And Paul told Timothy that they will amass speakers who will say what they want to hear. So the prophet shows up at this high point, and what does he say? But you do not give up. Be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. We here at the Paradise Church must memorize this phrase, do not give up. He would not have said that if that wasn't the tendency of human nature. And so breaking Amish Let me tell you, they... By the way, you need to know I never saw one, even a second of an episode, okay? All right? And if you're watching it, you're wasting your time. But they make these young people look like they're stars. They're doing a great thing. They're independent, man. They're free thinkers. And they're going to go out there and take the world by the whatever. And that they're going to go out there and be real, not like their roots. And the Bible says, don't give up. Don't give in. Don't be influenced. How hard that is when the internet and television and radio and DVDs and billboards and everything just pounds away at all our consciences, especially teenagers who are curious. And they make them look like they're superstars, folks, and they're making a horrible mistake. Now, I may not agree with the philosophy of the Mennonites and the Amish, but that television program is trying to make them out to be something special when the Bible doesn't agree. And in closing, I want to show you this. Turn with me, if you would, to Jeremiah 25. And let's specifically see what the Bible says. Okay? Jeremiah 25. Whoops, 35. Jeremiah 35. Now, I hope this is familiar to you, but if it isn't, it'll be exciting to you. And by the way, we're getting close to being done with Isaiah at prayer meeting on Wednesday night, in which hardly any of you come. And we're going to then start on the book of Jeremiah, chapter by chapter. You're invited. Look what it says. The word came, which came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the day of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, go to the house of the Rechabites, speak to them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Then I took Jazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, and the son of Habazaniah, his brothers and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites. And I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the son of Hanan, the son of Igdaliah, a man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, above the chamber of Maaseiah, and the son of Shalom, the keeper of the door. And then I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites bowls full of wine and cups, and I said to them, drink wine. By the way, are you struggling with this? This is grape juice. This is grape juice. There wouldn't be real wine in the sanctuary. Jeremiah wouldn't have anything to do with this. I think if you read the book of Jeremiah, no way would he even fudge on a corner. They had made a commitment not to drink from the vine, which was the same commitment that Samson's parents were told by the angel to raise their son that way. Okay. It says, verse 6, but they said, we will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, you shall not drink any wine, you nor your sons forever. You shall not build a house, sow seeds, or plant a vineyard, nor have any of these, but all your days you shall dwell in tents, that you may live many days in the land where you are sojourners. Thus we have had obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he charged us to drink no wine in our days, we, our wives, our sons, our daughters, nor building ourselves houses to dwell in, nor to have vineyards, fields, seeds, but we have dwelt in tents and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us. But it came to pass when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up into the land that we said, come, let us go to Jerusalem for fear of the army of the Chaldeans and for fear of the army of the Syrians. So we dwell in Jerusalem. Now, there's more here, and it's really good. But I want you to turn to verse 18. Let's sum this up. Let's see what the Bible says about this kind of behavior. And Jeremiah said to the house of Rechab, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according to all that he commanded you, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not lack a man to stand before me, how long?
Forever.
How does the Bible look at that commitment? Honors that commitment. Teenagers, pre-teenagers, young people, are you making that kind of commitment to the church? To your parents? Are we adults giving that kind of example to our children? Because I, for one, want to stand forever before God. And I can't go to the well of the world and then to church and stand forever before God. So, what does the Bible think about this? Oh, by the way, I better do some mop up here. Hold on. Verse 6. We shall drink no wine. I looked at all these commentators and they said, preserve our bodies in temperance. The Seventh-day Adventist message includes a health message. Includes vegetarianism. Includes not drinking caffeine. Besides not drinking, smoking, dancing, playing cards, or going to movies. And I looked and all the commentators saw, you shall not drink wine, meaning to preserve your body in temperance, shall use nothing that would deprive you of the exercise of your soul, sober reasoning at any time, lest in such a time you should do what might be prejudicial to yourself, injurious to your neighbor, or the dishonorment to your God. This isn't a Seventh-day Adventist commentary. Neither shall you build houses. You shall not become residents of any place. You shall not court earthly possessions. You shall live free from ambition and from envy, that ye may be free from contention and strife. And then, be dwellers in tents. You shall imitate your forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the rest of the patriarchs who dwelt in tents, being strangers and pilgrims upon the earth, looking for a heavenly country, being determined to have nothing here that would indispose their minds towards that place of endless rest, or prevent them from passing through temporal things so as not to lose those that are eternal. You know, I looked at one commentator, it even mentioned big houses. By the way, they left somebody pretty important out. I'm going to give you a test. But you shall dwell in tents. They said that means you shall imitate your forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the rest of the patriarchs. What exceptionally important person example did they leave out? Let them make me a sanctuary tent that I may dwell among them. God! Jesus! In fact, when John wrote in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, you Greek scholars go to your Greek, and the word dwell means tent. Breaking Amish. Extolling these kids for rebelling against their roots and their upbringing, which the Bible violently opposes. Don't give up, baptismal candidates. You're on a high right now. Satan is going to come with both feet. But you did the right thing. You hang in there. And you will see deliverance like you never saw before, because we are told, don't give up. I want to introduce you to the god small g Moloch. And by the way, if you read 1 Kings carefully, you will find out that one of the idols that Solomon instituted was Moloch in the valley of Ben Hinnom. By the way, do you know what Moloch was known for? Look at the far right. Do you see it? A baby. Sons and daughters. And later on, they were doing that in Israel. You will find that in the book of Jeremiah. James Michener, I never read one of his books, wrote in his book The Source, tells a story of a man named Urbale, who was a farmer living 2200 BC. He worshipped two gods, one a god of death, and the other the goddess of fertility. One day the temple priest called Urbale to bring his young son to the temple for sacrifice if he wanted good crops. Urbale obeyed and on the appointed day drags his wife and boy to the scene of the boy's religious execution by fire to the god of death. After the sacrifice of Urbale's boy and several others, the priest announced that one of the fathers will spend next week in the temple with the new temple prostitute. Urbale's wife is stunned as she noticed a desire written upon more intensely across the face than she had ever seen on her husband before. And she was overwhelmed to see him eagerly lunge forward when his name was called. The ceremony over, the distraught mother walks out of the temple and with head swimming concludes that if he had a different god, he would have been a different man. Father, help us not to give up, no matter how intense the struggle gets. Help us to have the right God, which is you, so that we can be the right man or woman, which is us. Don't let anyone here be discouraged, Lord. But keep us looking up for you. And Lord, You can deliver us from this world so that we can honor Your wonderful name. So blessed to this end, and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.